Yisrael, he heard. Who was Yisrael? Yisrael was the Chayim Midian. The priest, the high priest of Midian. Midian was a major, major, major country. Some want to say Midian is Saudi Arabia, where all the oil is. Chayim Midian, Chayim Moshe, he was the father of Moshe. He has a lot of different titles. He has his own name. His name was Yisrael. That itself is the greatest title you could possibly have in this world, have a name. You have an identity to call your own. He was also a Chohen. He was a priest. That's also pretty good. And it's one thing to be a priest of, you know, of Kalamazoo, but to be a priest of Midian, that's pretty good. Midian was a, you know, major player in those days. He was also a Chosin Moshe. He was a Shver, Seir Meir, Seir Meir. It's a godless just to be a father-in-law of anyone, even if a cockroach. Because if you're a father-in-law, you can push people around. It doesn't matter who. And to be the Chosin Moshe, to push around Moshe, it's even better. What?
We don't know anything about his wife.
We don't know anything about his the Shriga. The Shriga.
Right. We don't know anything about
the Shriga. Is there any midrashim?
Seven daughters. Okay, so she had to be.
Seven daughters. The first time he saw Moshe, he wanted to kill him. The Medrash says he threw him into a dungeon. He should starve to death.
She could have been. Was she gone already, the Shriga?
Who knows? But there's a conflicting midrash. The pasuk says he says to his daughter, "Marry him. You like him, marry him." But Medrash says
later when found out that she was feeding him,
it was a love story. She was feeding him. She threw potatoes.
She would have said, "Marry him right away in the first second."
You're making a good point. You know, you're saying good. You're saying very good. I hear. Good question. What after the Shriga? Chayisin Moshe. Eis kol asher osa Hashem l'kim l'Moshe. All that Hashem did also l'kim l'Moshe l'Yisrael Amai. Notice there are two things in this pasuk. He couldn't believe that Hashem, what Hashem did for Moshe. You know, it's like they say, behind every successful man is a surprised mother-in-law. Well, this pasuk says, behind every successful man there's a surprised father-in-law. He joined Yadus because Kol Asher Osa Elokim L'Moshe. You? Hashem helped you, Moshe? My son-in-law? Come on. Come on, man. How could that possibly be? So it says over here, that it's part of the equation here. Uli Yisrael Amoy, and to his nation. And that's very interesting. This passage is really jam-packed with Chidushim. Yisrael seems to be calling Klal Yisrael the nation of Moshe. When it says word Amoy, maybe not. When it says word Amoy, who is word Amoy going back on? Is it going back on Elohim, Asher Osa Elohim Li Yisrael Amo, or is it says Amo, is the going back on Yisrael, referring back to Moshe? Maybe Yisrael, from his point of view, Yisrael was an extremely complicated person. We can't even begin to grasp even a teeny mashu of his complexity. All the Yishei Tanakh are very complicated people. Esav, Yishmael, and now we have a Yisrael. Yisrael over here, he's coming to study. Torah is giving us a record of his perspective of Klal Yisrael, of what happened. And he says, Asa Elokim. Elokim is Midas Adin. The first thing he says is Moshe. That's interesting. Why Moshe? Didn't he learn his lesson from Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem Hoitzi Lechem V'Yayin V'Choyen Lekel Elyon? And then what was the big complaint? Then why did Malki Tzedek give cover to Avram before Hashem? He made a fatal mistake, Malki Tzedek. Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon Koinei Shamayim Baretz. Yisrael has a lot in common with Malki Tzedek. You know, Trump, doesn't appear to you that Trump is the most educated person in the world. Okay, it seems to be that there are many indications that he's very ignorant about a lot of basic things that a lot of people here in this audience know. But yet, you notice it comes out in the news very often that he knows a lot about the presidents of the United States. He knows a lot of American history, one thing only, presidents. He's able to varf about this president did this one did that. Wow, how do you know all this stuff? He doesn't impress most people as knowing too much about the world. All of the Lashon Hara they say about in the books that all of his enemies write about him reveal incredible ignorance. But yet he seems to know quite a bit about his predecessors, all the previous presidents of the country. Why? Obviously, it interests him very, very much. This is my business. I'm a president of the United States. Who would have imagined that I'd be the president? So obviously, in his spare time, it seems like he read up a lot, or obviously it drew his attention. So let's look at Yisro. Who is Yisro? Yisro is a Kohen Midian. That means Yisro has a lot in common with all of the previous people in Tanakh that are called a Kohen. And the most notable of them all is who? Umalki Tzedek, Malki Tzedek. Vuhu Hoitzi Lechem V'yayin Vuhu Choyhein Lekel Olyayin. Malki Tzedek was also called a Koyhein. And Malki Tzedek made a fatal, fatal mistake, which cost him everything. He gave kavod to a human being before he gave kavod to Hashem. And here it's like Yisro was doing the same thing all over again. He says, Eis kol asher so Elokim, to whom? Shouldn't Yisro learn his lesson from his landsman? His landsman, they both were Kohan in different eras, but didn't he read the history books? He should say, Asher also li Yisrael ulimoyshe. Why does he put it in this order? This is a good question. You know, learn from your mistakes. And Yisro was a smart fellow. Okay, he knew what was going on. I don't know, we have to see what's going on. That begs the question, what exactly did Yisro think about, what did Yisro think about Klal Yisro versus Moshe Rabbeinu? If you hold that Yisro Lamo is Hashem's nation, then the question is a very good question. You should say Elohim, what Hashem did to his own nation, Yisro Lamo and Moshe. But maybe Yisro, the answer to the question is that the word Amo is not coming to modify Yisrael. It's coming to modify Moshe. That this is nothing to do with Hashem. This is not Hashem's nation. I'm not talking about it. I saw what Hashem did to Moshe. And Moshe has groupies. He has 600,000 followers on his Facebook account. So Klal Yisrael is his nation, is the nation of Moshe. He doesn't view Klal Yisrael as being the nation of Hashem. And to a degree, he's right. Because until Matan Torah, Hashem never said, V'atem tihiyun li lemamleches koyhanim v'goy kodosh. Until the end of the parasha, this is Parashas Yisrael, Matan Torah. Until the end of the parasha, Klal Yisrael was not called the Mameleches Kohanim V'Goy Kodesh. To be a very beautiful pasuk in this week's parasha, revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's connection to Klal Yisrael, that we're his chosen nation. At this moment in time, it's very nice. Hashem did miracles for us, but it wasn't the Geder in his nation. And thus, maybe when it says here the word Amo, it's referring back to Moshe. Moshe, Hashem, wow, you did amazing things. You had a big family there in Egypt. They grew in size to 600,000 people. You went down there, you did miracles, and you took them out. They're your people. And Hashem was good to you, and Hashem helped you, you know, gather together a following. Okay, let's see. Ki yotzi Hashem es Yisrael mim Mitzrayim. Hashem, he took out Yisrael mim Mitzrayim. Rashi. Vayishma, these are the famous Rashi in the Parsha. Vayishma, Yisrael, Ma, Shmua, Shama, Uba. What exactly did he hear? So the answer is two things. Famous Rashi, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Milcham Samolek, we're not going to dwell in now. These are the two magical things, Kriyas Yamsuf and Milcham Samolek, the very end of Parshas, last week's Parsh, Bashalach, Vayavo, Amlek, the Milcham Samolek, that's what he heard. Yisrael, Rashi says, Sheva, Shemos, Nikru, Lo, yes, seven names. Reuel, Yeser, Yisrael, Choyviv, Chever, Keni, Paltiel. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 names. Yeser, why Yeser Hashem She Yeser Parsha Achas Batoila. This week's Parsha has been added on his account. V'ata, which parasha? Rashi, V'ata, Sechazem, it's not this parasha, it's when Yisrael sees Moshe Rabbeinu leading them and judging them, he says to Moshe, Moshe, you're going to wither away. Novol Tibol. And he gives Moshe advice how to set up a system of justice. Yisroi, why was he called Yisroi? Lichshenisgayer, v'kim ha-mitzvah, se-siv lo-ois alach ha-shmo. When he was Megayer, he came Yisroi. And that begs the question that according to Rashi, Rashi obviously holds that he already was a ger. If it says here, v'yishma Yisroi, so therefore he already has the vav. Therefore, according to Rashi, he was already a convert before this whole parsha began. That's what Rashi says. Lichshenisgayer, v'kim ha-mitzvah, se-siv lo-ois al-shmo. Choyvav. He had a love for Torah. The Chayvav who Yisro Shnemar b'nei Chayvav Chayseim Moshe the Perish Apostle and Shayfti. The Yeshayim, some say. Ru'uel, now then he goes on the other names. Rashi here is not explaining to us all the other names. But one of the names that Rashi did list was Ru'uel. And Rashi wants to say that really Yisro only had six names. And Ru'uel was the Oviv Shal Yisro. Umahu Oimer. And how could it possibly be then? But it says in the passage, "Vatavon el Ruel Avihen, Vatavon el Ruel Avihen, Shahatinoikos Karim la Avi Avihen Abo the Zayde." They went to their grandfather. Who says this? This one. It says in the Sifrei. Okay. So therefore, Rashi over here is telling us they really 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ruel is the first thing that Rashi lists. Let's review. Ruel. Some say that's not really his name. It's the grandfather. Yes, sir. An extra parsha in the Torah. Yisroi, after he was Megayer, he got an extra letter. What letter? Vav. Why is the letter Vav the letter you get when you become a ger? Person comes a ger, he gets the letter Vav. Vav means a hook. A hook. When you become a person becomes a ger, he becomes a hook. A hook is something that you hang something upon. Okay, and there must be something deep into that. Why you get the letter Vav? Chayvav represents the love for Torah. Anyone that has a love for Torah has a special name. Chever, he doesn't explain this. He does not explain the word Chever, does not explain the word Keni, and does not explain the word Putiel. Putiel, someone we learn later on, Putiel means he fattened calves for gods. Put means to fatten, El means power. Yisrael was in the business of producing idols, live idols, okay, not idols that are pieces of plastic, pieces of wood, living idols, animals which were offered as sacrifices to idols. Okay, let's go further. Now we go to the next Rashi. Chayisin Moshe, Kadosh Yisro Mechabed Moshe. Over here, he's the father. Was if you say he's the father-in-law of Moshe, so therefore, who is the Ikar? Who is the Tofel? The Iker is Yisroi, Moshe, and Yisro, I'm the Shver, I'm the father-in-law of Moshe, so Yisro's only honor, only claim to fame is being the father-in-law of the Melech. Kano Yisro Mechav Moshe, Ani Chos Na Melech. Well, Sheovar, in the past, Chay Moshe Tola HaGedula B'chobim, Shenemar, Vayoshav El Yisroi Chosnoi, Moshe returns to his Chosnoi. Why is Raja telling us this? Why is Rashi telling us this idea? I do not know. Something to think about. Le Moshe uli Yisrael. These two shokel Moshe connected called Yisrael. This pasuk says they're equal. Okay. Eis kol asher osa lohem b'yudas Amon. What do they do? Uve be'er uve Amalek. So now notice over here we have a little bit of a conflict. The Shemia. What did he hear? He heard two things: Kriyas Yamsuf and Amalek. But when he talks about Eis Asher Osa, we no longer talk about Kriyas Yamsuf. Why is that not called a Nasiya, a doing? How come he totally ignores the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he did? Here he says Mon, the Be'er, bread, water, and Amalek. Why did Rashi select these three? I don't know. Ki Hoitzi Hashem, Zugdul HaKulam, and Hashem had taken out the Jewish people from Egypt. This is the greatest thing of them all. Let's see the Targum. Targum. Ushama Yisro Rabo. Yisro the Rabo de Midian. He was the Rav. He was the Rebbe. He was the Rabo de Midian. Okay, the great one of Midian. This is the greatest Rebbe for Midian. Chamui de Moshe, the Shver of Moshe. Yos called Avad Hashem l'Moshe l'Yisrael amei arei apek Hashem Yos Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. Now let's see here in the Ma'atzer Rabba. What's Rabba? The Nasi, the prince, Sar. Question. Rashi here is doing something very strange through the Targum. The Koyen, we would assume, means the high priest. And we know the Midrashim. The Midrashim tell us that he was an idolater. He was in fact a leader of Avodah Zarah. He experimented with every single Avodah Zarah that existed in the world. He had every degree in idolatry that you can possibly get in this world. So why then is the Targum shying away from the word Koyhein by translating it the word Rabbah? Okay, so he doesn't want to say the word Rabbah. K'sh'ein ha'sodek Rabbi Yeshua ben Mechilta, the Medr Shalacha, she'yishu koymer ha'yah, he was a priest. O'yah sh'lodayta kol koyin she'maskal olav shem ir o'y medina e'enoy mesharis le'elohus. It does not mean, anytime you have the word Koyhein next to a city, it does not mean a religious leader. It means an officer, nothing to do with religion. Okay, we have the coin of oin, Tirgim Rabba de Oin. The Ayn Ramban. Okay, so therefore this is the interpretation of what it means over here. The word Koyhein, does it mean a priest or does it mean a leader? Does Rashi give any indication of what it means? Rashi, the Vayishma doesn't say anything. Rashi totally ignores this. Totally omits any mention of what the word Koyin means. Usually when Rashi leaves it out, doesn't discuss it, it means that Rashi has no problem with the Targum. The Targum is almost shtikul kehoida. Chamu, the father-in-law, Avi Ishtoi. The father-in-law is the father of the person's wife. Al-Bamikwa Rak Avi HaBal. This is very, very fascinating. This is right up your line there. In Mikra, the father of the, normally the word chamoyhi means the father of the husband, Nikra Kain. Kaloshna Kosov, Hinei Chomich, your, by Tamar. Yehuda was married to Tamar. I'm sorry, Yehuda had two sons, Er and Oinon, and Er married Tamar. Er died, Oinon died. And now Tamar wanted to marry Shelah. And Yehuda said, no way, he's going to die also. He sent her away. And then they told her, guess who's coming to town today? Your father-in-law. So what do we see from this? That the word chamu, a father-in-law in Tanakh, okay, he says this is a very interesting thing to study, this idea. Avi Yishtai ben Mikra, if he's writing this over here, he must have done his homework, that generally, whenever it says the word father-in-law, this unique term chamuhi, a chosein, it is the father of the husband, not the father of the wife. It's very rare. Moshe here, the way the word is being used here is an exception to the rule. It's an exception, and I mean, we use it interchangeably. Hey, it means nothing. Our language doesn't mean anything the way we talk, but in our expression, we use the chosein interchangeably for the father of the husband, the father of the wife. But he's telling us here a very interesting principle, which I never heard before, that a father-in-law.
It makes a lot of sense.
Why?
Because
why?
If you have a shmiga, her husband has no word. He's a nobody. But if the husband's father has a word, because she's not the shmiga.
All right, he's totally making jokes over here. Okay, but in general, this is a very interesting idea that a father-in-law means the father of the husband. And here, we're using by Moshe Rabbeinu, we're calling him Yisrael, is the Chosein Moshe.
Respect the father of the husband. The father of the husband is respected.
Right, and what about the father of the Kala? Why is she not respected? She's usually paying for everything. He's usually paying for everything. Why is he not respected?
Yeah, the Shviga is the boss. Not the father.
Shvig is the boss. All right. I don't know. Very interesting thing to keep this in mind. Maybe it'll come up. We'll come across this at some point. Notice Rashi and the Targum. They're like two passing ships that don't intersect. They don't comment on each other. Chosein Moshe kano Yisrael mischavim Moshe. Let's read over this Rashi. Maybe there'll be more appreciation of this Rashi. here Moshe is mischabe Yisro mischabe b'Moshe. Ani choisei ani choisei nalach. L'sha'ovay Moshe chtoyle hagidule b'chamiv shnemar v'yoshle yeser choisnai. The same thing. Choisnai. So, okay, Rashi over here, he's not commenting on that, but it's interesting. Definitely, this needs more discussion. Let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, nothing more here. Next pasuk gimel. Next pasuk of the base. Ayikach Yisro choisei Moshe. Again, choisei Moshe es sipara. Eishas Moshe. He took his daughter, that was the wife of Moshe, achar shiluchach, after Moshe sent her away. Rashi, why did he send her away? Achar shiluchach, kesha'om alech l'shbaruch b'midyon, leich shuv mitzrayma, vayikach Moshe es isha v'yizbona, vayetze aron l'grosay, vayikashir b'har l'kim, omar loy, Aaron said to Moshe, mihim halalo, who are these people you have with you? Who's this woman? Who are these two children? Ger shum and Eliezer, omar loy, Zohi Ishti, this is my wife. Shenososi b'midyon be'elu bonai. Amaloi leheichan ata amalichem, where you bring them? Amaloi lemitzrayim, amaloi al harishonim anu mitzarim. V'yatabo l'chosev aleim, we have enough prisoners here. Egypt, we have enough tsaros here in Egypt. Enough people to feed. You have an American passport, get out of here. You're lucky, you have an American passport. Get out of the country. What do you need to come over here to Egypt and go and suffer and you'll be a burden on us. Anu mitzarim ve'atabol lochis v'aleim omar losu Moshe fine said to her l'chi el beis avich koch to your father not lo shnei v'anecha v'hol chula. She had custody. Look at that. She had that was part of the argument. But this is very interesting. I never understood this. You know why I never understood this is I don't want to say anything too much because you might figure out what I'm referring to. But there are certain people that get jobs. There are certain very popular people. They live in one country, and there's organizations to hire them. And then what happens? They say, you know what? I'll come. My wife and my children are going to stay home, and I'll come. I'll do my job at Emuna. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But you know, Shabbos, Yom Tov, I go home to my wife. So, okay, listen, you know, that also is part of the question. What exactly is the job? You know, is the wife part of the job or is she not part of the job? So, I mean, she's not the one that's doing the services. He's doing the services. But there's a certain sense of if your family is settled, is together with you here, that means you're devoted. My focus is to be here. Person gets a very prestigious job and his wife remains, let's say he lives in Israel. Let's say he lives in America. And he gets a very prestigious job in Israel. Very chosh of a job. And he goes and he does the job in Munishlam, but it comes Yom Tov, it comes Chanukah, it comes Purim, he goes back home to America to his wife and children. You're not here. What do you mean I'm not here? I did my job. Alright, so it depends what the job is, but there's certain types of jobs where there's a certain impression that you give the people that you're leading is, I'm with you. I live with you, I'm part of you, I'm devoted to you. And that means that your family is here also. So if your family can't come, so don't take the job. So no, I want the job anyway. Sometimes I'm very unfortunate. I know cases where, yeah, of course my family is coming. Eventually, in a year from now, in 2 years from now, they'll come eventually. We have to find a house. We have to go find this, find that. And then you know what happens? 20 years go by and the family never, ever came. And in the meantime, the person went back and forth like a yo-yo, back and forth here and there. And there's no question there's something missing. There's something missing. The wife doesn't have to do anything. Just the fact that they're settled here. You know what I'm talking about. So this always bothered me. Moshe here is coming to save Klal Yisrael. He's not coming with his family. He's not coming with his wife and children. Doesn't that seem to give the impression to the people that he's leading that Moshe, you're not really one of us. If you're one of us, your wife and children would be here with you as well. You know, it's also, you know, in the modern world today, Okay, I don't have to go tell you, in the modern world today, when a person doesn't come with his wife, he's all alone, that right away leads to suspicion. How come he's not married? What is he doing over here? I don't even know, goes on in Washington. All these senators, no secret, all the senators and politicians, they don't live in Washington, D.C. They live all over the country. They're the representatives, and they have to come here and spend significant amount of time to do their job. No one comes with their wife. And you know what goes on in Washington, D.C.? Shetufei Zima. It's mamish Shetufei Zima what goes on in Washington with all these senators and politicians. So, Moshe Rabbeinu, where's your wife? You know, I'm saying it's 100% true because Chazal say every single person in Klal Yisrael warned his wife. They suspected Moshe of being mezane with their wife. It's a Chazal. It's a beferish of Chazal. Every husband accused their wife, warned their wife, don't you dare be alone in a room with Moshe. I don't trust him. Let me ask you a question. If Moshe Rabbeinu came to Mitzrayim with his wife, would they have suspected him? Would it be the same thing? I don't know. I don't know. You know. It's also it refers to what happened in the Midbar. This day with Mekan, the wife, also was not only in Mitzrayim, was also in the Midbar. But he got off to a bad start by not coming with his wife. So this Rashi is a very interesting Rashi. Moshe Rabbeinu came. Aaron said to him, "No, your wife and your children should go home." Achar, and the pasuk goes out of its way to say the words Achar Shiluchech. He sent her away. Let's see the Targum. The Targum was the Devar Yisrael Chamui. Devar here means Vayikach, he took. The word Udvar is an unusual word. Udvar does not mean to take. We had this before, not that long ago. It means to guide. Udvar means to guide. Yisro, Chosei Moshe, he. It seems like it means he encouraged her. That's the word Udvar. The word Vayikach, the real word for Yis is Nosif, he took. It doesn't say the word Nosif. Yadber Amim Tachtenu, to lead nations beneath us. The word Udvar Yisro Chamui, the Moshe Yossi Parah Itas Moshe, Bosar Deshalcha, has a connotation that Yisro had to convince, he had to persuade, he had to use all of his talents to tell his wife, you know, it would be a good idea for you to come join your husband in Mitzrayim. She probably said, no, he left me, he abandoned me. I don't want to go back to him. Their children don't even know who their father is. He abandoned us all these years. I don't want to go back to him. She could say, you know, it's a sakonis nefashos. I don't want to go there. I have a good life over here in Midian. What am I going to get by going over there? And that's what the Targum says. When it says vayikach, it means udvar. He had to persuade her. He had to convince her that it's in her best interest to go back now to Moshe Rabbeinu after they left Mitzrayim. That's a little word, but that word speaks volumes of what was really going on here in this pasuk. And obviously, the Targum is taking the word of Devar, which is a very powerful word, because the pasuk goes out of its way to say a very powerful expression, Achar Shiluchecha. It almost sounds like Moshe shoved her out of here, sent her away. The Torah doesn't have to go tell us all the little secrets. There's a million details that we do not know about. Yet the Torah here goes way out of its way to say that Moshe Rabbeinu, he sent her away. This is something you would think is in the Medrash. Where was Moshe's wife? Moshe's wife, she stayed home, this, that. What's this musach? Achar shiluchecha. It has a rough connotation. He pushed her away. And it almost sounds like from the Targum she was insulted. Or she was, you know, something was not right. And Yisro was a good shver. Or maybe Yisro didn't want to be bothered with his daughter driving him crazy every day. So Yisro said, Udvar. Udvar means to be a manik, to lead, to guide, to give advice. To bring a person that they should realize for themselves this is the correct thing to do. A little word which speaks about what's over here in the Targum. Udvar. Davar hanikach Behanhogas devarim. See, he comes to explain. Something which is taken with words. Hanhogas devarim. Words. Persuasion. Mitargeminim beloshon devar. See, we learned this word not that long ago in last week's parasha. The same thing. The same theory to the word vayikach Moshe. Atzmos Yosef. Moshe took the bones of Yosef. Same thing there, the Targum is, there it says Dvar also, it says something different. I mean, I think it's because of the word Dvar. And then the Targum asked the question, he asked the question, it should say, Vinosiv Moshe Yos Atzmosa the Yosef. Moshe took. The word for Yikach is to took. Well, what's the Targum over there saying? They gave a whole drasha. What do the words over there mean? Same thing over here, this not your typical word, it's coming to teach something very, very deep. The Shalcha. Avol yesh garsen de potro. Okay, over here we have a machlokes as to the correct girsa. The correct girsa. Our girsa, and this one that I'm reading over here on the page over here, I don't know what it says in the art scroll Targum, but here it says, Bosar de shalcha. He sent her away. So he says another girsa, other versions have a different word, not the word de shalcha, de patra. De patra means divorce. A get piturin. Gerishin is called a get of pitur. You're exempt. So he says over here some of a different girsa. Aval, yesh garsin. There are those that have a girsa de patra, which means divorce. The chosav riva, the ledeya zu yisra ba achar matan Torah. According to that interpretation, yisra came after. Not everything is here out of order, after matan Torah. Zulka shakal nishvaruchu. Omar Loi, and Hashem said to Moshe, the art of Poamoni Madi, Gersha, which would then mean that when did Moshe divorce his wife, it changed the entire story. The whole story is changed entirely different. What he's trying to suggest over here almost is that really when Moshe came, he came with his wife and children, and they were there maybe all the time. You know, they're conflicting midrashim. We're used to hearing that Moshe's wife, and this is the Rashi, that Moshe's wife was not part of the entire story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Moshe was the only one in the whole Klal Yisrael that was able to fulfill the mitzvah of Haggadah. V'igarta levincha b'yoyma huleymar b'avur zeh, because everyone else, their children, saw it firsthand. But Moshe was the only one whose children did not see what happened. Okay, enochanami. And that's really what Rashi says. But it appears, we are very common, you have conflicting midrashim. And he's trying to allude to the fact there's another opinion that holds that Moshe and his wife, Moshe's wife and his children were part of Yitzias Mitzrayim. They saw it firsthand. But what happened? The after Poa Modi Modi, after Matan Torah, Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, you have to be on standby 24/7, because now for the next 40 years, I'm going to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael through you, and you have to be ready at a moment's notice. And that basically means you have to get divorced. Because if a person is married, he's tamei. If he's tamei, then he needs to go to mikvah. And he needs to wait until the sun sets. So it can take a whole day until he is available to go into the Ohel Moed to speak with Hashem. It can take 24 hours. So until he's matar himself. So they have a Moshe decided he needs to be on standby 24/7, so he has no choice but to divorce his wife. So he divorced her. And when he divorced her, it seems she was insulted. And she went back home to her father. And her father, what are you doing here? I'm home. My husband Moshe, he divorced me. So Moshe came, so his father, this, I don't like this idea. Moshe, Torah tells you to get divorced? I'm not happy with this whole approach, this religion. He was an expert in religion, by the way. Yisra was the world-renowned expert in religion. And he said a religion where the religious leaders are not married will never survive. Go look at Christianity. Who is Christianity? Who does the church attract today? Only the Meshugoyim. It's a fact. It only attracts the crazy, the nutcases. In a world like today, promiscuity is impossible to attract any healthy, normal person to the church. It's an unbelievable thing. It's also very sad for them. Who am I to say, like the nuns? I never understood these nuns. It's a gefährliche thing. They devote, and listen, they're very religious. They devote themselves to God. is an incredible book. Mayor, he wants my copy. I have the copy of The Rabbi and the Nuns, Rabbi Tursky. Zecher Tzadik Levrach. I can't believe I'm saying that. He died yesterday, Rabbi Tursky. He wrote for Art School, I believe, at least 31 books. He himself famously said, everyone quotes this, everyone says, he said, I wrote only one book, but 31 different ways. But there was one book that Art School would never publish, and either with Feldheim or Judaica Press, no one wanted to touch it. And that was the book he wrote called The Rabbi and the Nuns. And it's the best of them all. It's a funny book. It's a book of stories. For a period of time, he was the psychologist, psychiatrist, psychologist, I'm not sure, it was probably a psychiatrist also. He was a psychiatrist. So he was a psychiatrist for nuns, for a whole, I don't remember, many years ago, for a whole monastery for nuns, and they all knew he's the man to go to. And he has all these incredible stories that he had with the church, and mainly the nuns, treating them. And it's an amazing insight into a human being, how a person can be so holy and yet can relate to every type of person, totally not afraid of Christianity. He's not intimidated, not in the slightest, and was there to help them, to guide them in the most honest way. The book is an incredible, incredible insight into the human condition and speaks volumes for the greatness of Rabbi Tursky. And it's a shame on us that the publishing companies that we worship and idolize, Art School and Feldheim, which are unbelievable, they can't even publish this. They can't publish this book. This book, it gets them very uncomfortable, this book, because the whole book is devoted to showing how a person can deal with people of other faiths and help them and encourage them and be friendly with them like none other. It's astonishing. And you know, so one thing you learn, you know, it's always struck me, the nuns, they're not married. To me, I mean, listen, who am I? I'm not in the theology. The men, okay, I you know, by goyim, a galach has to be muvdal. Maybe I can understand a little bit what it's about, why a galach is not allowed to be married. But a nun, it's mamash apella to me, this whole thing. Yisro, it's very interesting, Yisro is the Kohen Midian. Now, even though Targum himself didn't want to say that he's called a priest, but Chazal tell us he was a world-renowned expert in religion. And look at this approach of what the Targum is saying. Yisro sees Moshe, a religious leader, setting an example to Klal Yisro that the religious leader is not married. The religious leader is a muvda, like the church, like the Catholics. Okay? Not the Protestants, the Catholics. And Yisro says, this is a disaster. You go down this path to set an example for Klal Yisrael that the supreme religious leader is like the Pope, Lahavdil, Elf Avi Avdolis, that's muvdal. This is a churban. It's a churban for you, Moshe. It's a churban for Klal Yisrael. And it's an example that will destroy Klal Yisrael. This is not Yadus. That, in a certain sense, was Yisro's greatest contribution to Klal Yisrael. What did Yisro contribute to Klal Yisrael? What did he contribute? Let's say there was never a Yisro, according to this Targum they were learning. Moshe, with this approach, Achar Pitra, he divorced his wife. Goodbye and good luck, good riddance. You're out of here. I can't. V'yata po avodi madi. He would set an example. And who knows? After Moshe, it could become a precedent that all religious leaders in Klal Yisrael are not married. Which we know from observing the church is a churban. Their biggest churban, the church, is that they're not married. Because number one, it only attracts crazy people. And number two, they become crazy. They become shugayim, and they anyway they do all the averis anyway. We know that, and it becomes a corrupt religion. Yisrael saw this happening. He was an expert in religion. He knew this cannot be for Klal Yisrael. And here Yisrael, he made a trek in the desert, in the Saudi Arabian desert, to go find Moshe Rabbeinu, to bring back his wife, not just for his daughter's benefit. Maybe he could have got for her daughter a better husband. No, for Klal Yisrael. To teach Moshe Rabbeinu a lesson, don't make a precedent with this Mahalich for Klal Yisrael. And explains very much why the Pasuk says, Achar, we emphasize, it's a very bizarre thing. Torah is not involved in telling us about the private lives of our leaders. You don't do that. It's not, this is not, the Torah, these are things that are left for Midrashim, to go tell you what they had for supper, to go tell you, you know, how what they did for entertainment. You know, this is not, the Torah is not into this. And here it goes and makes such a big deal and says, the private life of Moshe Rabbeinu had a fight with his wife. He had a fight with Achar Shilucheha. He divorced her. What's this doing over here in the Torah? No, this is a fundamental yesoid in leadership. In the leaders of Klal Yisrael, they have to be normal people who are married. Otherwise, they're not, you know, today you can't get a job. I try to get a job being a rabbi. They told me there's nothing to talk about. No one will even look at you even for 1 second if you're not married. And they're right. 100% right. That's how it has to be. And this is really what he's saying over here in this incredible, incredible chashal here. Get. He gave her a get. Okay? Rabbi Loza Hamadoya Imer B'maymar. The Maimar is basically going back to what we said before, that Shiluchecha, the other words over here, Dishalcha, he sent her away. He didn't give her a divorce. Okay, L'cheinu Parish Rashi, Amolol L'chila B'Yisavich, fine. Include, just telling you by side, that you should know that this, that the Galachim don't get married, for us, I believe firmly, turned out to be the biggest bracha. You know why? If a galach can get married, there would be a church on every street corner. Just like in Flatbush, there's a shtiebel on every single corner. Everyone wants to be a rabbi. Everyone wants to be, you know, a little covered, a little this, a little that. The goyim, they want the same thing. There would be a church on every corner. And you know what they would do the whole day in the church? You know what they do the whole day? One thing only. Kill the Jews. But because a galach, I can't be married, you can't engage in all this, the promiscuity of society, I don't want to be a... So Baruch Hashem, there are no churches, and the churches are empty. So no one's screaming the whole day, kill the Jews. Instead, they're fighting in politics, they're fighting about sports, they're doing this, doing that. They leave us alone. For us, it worked out very good. Or they're very good. If the church allowed them to get married, it would be a whole different religion. And it would put us in very great sakana. Okay, Rabbi Sai, thank you for coming. Have a wonderful night.
I'm not masking with you all the way. I think it's more to that. What do you mean? Set the back. And Yisrael said, hey, no way. You're not coming back with your... two kids to me.
I'm not paying tuition. I'm not going to pay their tuition. Not going to pay their college tuition.
Right. Back to Moshe. That's it.
All right.
Moshe,
too simplistic.
You're passing the dinner for the machleit, the dinner mishpatim. This is your first case, man. It's your wife. It's your responsibility. Take care of it.
I think it's deeper. It's more of a hashkafic issue. That's true. Of course, that's true. But I really believe Yisrael here was telling Moshe, what are you doing here? You're demanding of Klal Yisrael and you're not married?
What did Moshe do? Moshe said, okay, she wants to sit here. She can sit here, but I'm busy.
It doesn't say what Moshe did. It obviously took her back. That seems to be clear that he did take her back.
Well, he took her back, but he was busy in his office.
Okay,
he
but...
Not not with his wife and not with his kids.
Hashem made time for, Hashem didn't go, but Moshe was tummy, so he was tummy, whatever it was. But Yisro had a very powerful, message to him. This cannot go on. You're going to destroy class. This is much more fundamental, what he did, than telling Moshe Rabbeinu, oh, novelty ball. You have to have a whole hierarchy of judges and this and that and this and that. That anyway is going to happen. Even if Yisro, let's say Yisro would not have come and told Moshe, you have to have a whole court system. What's going to happen at the end of the day? Moshe's not going to live forever. Yeshua, and anyway, there will be a whole hierarchy. It was inevitable. Whatever Yisro went and instituted for Klal Yisrael would anyway happen. At some point, it may not have happened now. It may have taken another generation until they create a whole system of judges in the Sanhedrin, because there's no other way to do it. But this would not have changed. If Moshe would have remained alone, the Ata Po Amodi Modi, he would have set a precedence that a manik in Klal Yisrael has to be a parush, just like Lahavdil Elif Alfei Havdolos, the Goyim, the Pope, and the Cardinals, and the Bishop. They have to be Muvdal. It would set a precedent, and this would creep into Klal Yisrael, and this would be a Chorban for Klal Yisrael. How do we know it's a Chorban for Klal Yisrael? Because we see by them it's a Chorban. So by us, it would be even a bigger Chorban. And this, that he went and he strained them out right away, is the greatest contribution that he made for Klal Yisrael.
I just figured out how we know there was Corona in the Midwest.
How? Yeah.
Because there's a big famous Shaila, the man had the taste of whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
What if you wanted it not to have a taste, or you didn't think about it?
So some taco hold, they had no taste. Taco, they only had no taste.
You didn't have taste yet.
You didn't have, you're saying very funny, very good. I hear what you're saying. You're saying very good. You're saying if you didn't have taste, that means you, all right, I hear what you're saying. Rachman al-Itzlan.
Yeah.
The whole idea of Corona, what does it mean? What kind of disease is it? It's a disease, is this the way it is? It was transmitted from an animal to a human being. It's a scary principle that a disease, rat poison. Rat poison is only poison for rats, not poison for people. It's not poison for people. A person eats rat poison. Anything happen to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He,
they usually used striking for a rat poison
that
would kill people too.
Yeah, but there's certain types of diseases that are only fatal for animals, or
yeah,
not fatal.
So they don't pass. It doesn't go over the, is a word for it, fancy word. It
so supposedly, I don't know any of the sun, but supposedly this disease is something that was transmitted from animal to human being, from a bat to a human being. It's a very frightening concept, is that there is a taruvis of man and animal. That's a very scary thing.
Rabbi,
yeah.
If you move into the origins of the word vaccine, it came like this. Vaccine is somehow is from cow. The smallpox was a very bad disease.
Yeah.
And one doctor, I don't know if he's a veterinarian or a man doctor, figured out the woman who were mimicking the cows.
Yeah.
Louis Pasteur.
No, that's a different one. He had a very mild form of that smallpox. But what they have some blisters on their skin. So he took the, and they basically all survived, and nothing would happen, and they had very mild things. So he took from this woman who had this from the cows, that also looked like cow, small parts from cow, and started transmitting the pus, whatever is the fluid, to healthy individuals. These healthy individuals exhibited the same course of like the woman who permitted the cows. So the word vaccine comes from that thing. So the transmission from animals to human. Well,
it's an old thing. This is not the first time this happened, of course. Right, this is not, this
I
all
these... If I explain, I briefly read what is vaccine.
Right, that's...